on May the 7th. And we trust that this service here would certainly magnify the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The glory of Christ. I don't know if you've thought about that a lot lately, but Ralph saw the glory in Christ. Ralph cultivated a very personal relationship and enjoyed Christ. Ralph's life was orientated on the supremacy of Jesus Christ, that Christ might be glorified. Life and death, they seem like such polar opposites. They seem like they're so contradictory. They seem like arch enemies of one another. But in Ralph's mind, there's this unity somehow, so that whether by life or by death, Christ would be magnified. The greatest longing he had would be fulfilled in both. So in a sense, it was a matter of indifference to him which one the Lord would give him. He felt like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, where he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Death is a threat to the degree that it frustrates our goals, our aims, our ambitions, and our aspirations. Death is fearful only to the degree that it threatens to rob you of what you value most. Ralph valued Christ above all. He looked at death and he didn't see it as a frustration. He saw it as an occasion for the fulfillment of his highest value, that Christ truly would be magnified. We will magnify Christ in our dying precisely to the degree that we believe that fellowship with him in heaven is more to be preferred than any person or event or anything here on this earth. Ralph could say, "In Christ I have everything and so much more." Trust that you received a program this afternoon. This program was thought out, and it was the wishes of Ralph. So when Dr. Brenda Keene comes and plays along with her daughter Meredith and their beloved son Carson, you know that these are the wishes of Ralph. At this time, I'd like to have our pastor, Pastor Mark Love, come and open in a word of prayer.
I think it was about 13 or 14 years ago. We've been here about 16 years old. Maybe it was 14, 15 years ago. Ralph and Brenda and the kids were at a BJU drama. The drama team from BJ was at a church someplace in Connecticut, I think. It was someplace in Connecticut. And my daughter was on it. And they were looking for a church. And she said to him, "Well, my dad's pastoring in Colchester, Connecticut." They came and never left. And they came, and I want to say a principle and truth of faithfulness. They travel 45 minutes one way, 40 to 45 minutes one way, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And any extra special things, and they had to work on Wednesdays, or I know they would have been here then. But the faithfulness of Ralph, and then what they meant to the ministry here, music, and he taught a Sunday school class, and he was a deacon here, and he was a man that honestly really stood for the Word of God. He would tell me how he'd go and in the morning before work, or he'd go to McDonald's. And he'd be in his car, and he'd spend that time with God there. And he always, always referred to the Word of God. You know, we all err, but one thing I liked about Ralph, if he ever erred, he was going to err on the conservative side. It was not going to be on the soft side. It was going to be on the conservative side. You knew something was going to be there. You knew which side he was going to come on. And he would let you know. That's what I believe God's word and Bible is, because he spent time. We need to spend time in God's word. And he has the privilege today of looking at the Savior that he spent so much time with. I hope you're jealous. I hope the tears are just of tears of, we're going to miss him. I remember he was sitting back there and he told us that came back and he got it, the cancer came into his liver. And I remember saying to him, I said, well, Ralph, as far as the truth of God's word, he's going to accomplish his glory, and I praise the Lord for that. As far as a friend, I'm so sad. And so I trust as you see the program, and we're going to just have them come and as they wish to just go along as those that are a part of the program, see where you're at and come up. And then at the end, we'll just be dismissed after the amazing grace that will be playing there. And you'll just be dismissed after that with no one having to say, we're done, or prayer, everything. You'll be doing that. And so as you are on the program, that if you would come, and there'll be a luncheon then afterwards, straight over in our little half gymnasium across the hall. We'll have a fellowship there for everyone, and you're all invited. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I so thank you for letting us come into your presence. I thank you for that, your goodness and your loving kindness and for your truth and how you magnify your word according to that wonderful name, your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, your faithfulness. And so as we come to you, Lord, I thank you for using man, puny man, for your service. And I thank you for calling Ralph to say yes to that call. As he, by faith, repented of his sin and free will that you'd given him to ask you to save him. Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for the opportunity and his family. Lord, we do know that he's having quite a time there with you, as best as we can figure out of what you reveal to us in your word. But Lord, I pray for that grace for Carson and Meredith and Brenda. Thank you for them. We know we've already seen that grace. We'll continue to see that grace because your grace just comes as the waves of the sea never stop. And so, Lord, I pray that all of our hearts might be ready and prepared to realize that all this is to your glory, to the very exceeding, the appearance and excellence of who you are, of whom changes lives. And we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the honor and glory and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are always good, you are always my heart believe, you are always only good.
Looking in, I can see my frailty, my sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call. You are always good, you are only good. You are always good to me. See how my heart believes, you are always only good. Looking up, I can see sympathy, I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our
strengthen and protect me, to help me face each day. He leads me through the valley to draw me closer still, knowing even in the shadows I find his perfect will. I find his strength, I seek his aid in the secret place. I find hope, I find grace, far away from the world's embrace.
When it comes to remembering certain friends, it's kind of like what Paul said. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And many of us in here were friends with Ralph, and times we laughed together at camp, just walking around, showing him what God was doing, or he'd come and even visit during our fun time, skit time, and laugh, even though things are really not that funny. He still would. So at times we'd laugh together, and of course, I think of him when we see the big elk there in Cool Beans and some of his other animals hanging around. Times we cried together, you know, and Meredith obviously got those words, that ugly word, cancer, that none of us care for. And just a lot of fun. Thanksgiving dinner after the house issue, that was interesting weekend, just fellowshipping together. But when I think of Ralph and all the good times and all the fun, I really hardly know how to boil it down. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read to you some texts. We would text back and forth. And a few months ago, just trying to encourage and just kind of reading. Hey, thinking you guys, you hanging in there? He says yes. But I will tell you, it's not easy. Many issues to be resolved, as well as the health and the pain concerns. Thank you very much for your interest and prayer support. Trusting the Lord as we go day by day. I respond, so sorry, you are a blessing in the way you're trusting God through this. I'm sure the pain is no fun at all. I'll keep praying. I'm excited to have Carson working with us this summer. Give Brenda a big hug for Amber and I. Will do, and thank you very much for your prayer support and watch care over us. Take care of Carson this summer. And then I send some prayer, just prayer hands. He says, this is on Amber's birthday, he says, praying very much for you, Amber, in the Wiles ministry. I have a little more time to pray when I'm waiting for my meds to kick in and when I wake up in the middle of the night. I've certainly learned more about how to pray through all of this. We love you and Amber. I respond, thanks, my friend. I'm praying daily for the Lord's return. If you happen to get there before me, would you please save me a seat? Love you, bro. And he responds with, it really can't be that far now. At least that's what my feeble mind says. I've been doing a lot of great study on prophecy in the last month with how evil the world has turned in the last 24 months and the absolute weakness and evaporation of American resolve. We will be pulling away from Israel soon, in my view. When that happens, I think we're really close. And then he says a few choice things about world leaders that I will not read. And then he says they all have such a hatred for God and righteousness. The Great White Throne Judgment will definitely be a fascinating place to get a front row seat. I'll save you a seat there too. Take care, my friend, and have a great evening. Please pass on my greetings to Amber, and I know she's a great warrior for the cause of Christ as well. I so agree, but remember, the world is not falling apart. It's falling together and in place. Then I text him, I said, I'm listening to Blessed Assurances. I spent time Philippians 1:18 this morning, and I thought of you. You've spent your life living for Christ. The only thing better is being in his presence. Love you, bro. He responds, thank you, Rand, for your friendship and support. You're very kind. I'm truly looking forward to being in the presence of our Savior and out of this pain in this ugly world. I would just rather bring us all home at the same time soon. So this is Ralph. And he loved the Lord, and he loved his family. And he's one of those guys, I thank my God upon every remembrance of him.
Amen. I'm also going to read because I don't want to ramble on. My first remembrance of Ralph and Brenda was during our college years at BJU. We didn't know each other then, but I remember them. One day while I was sitting in my chapel seat, I saw Ralph and Brenda. And Ralph was walking Brenda to her seat, and both of them chatting away, and I thought actually that they might have been late for chapel if they kept talking, but and I don't think I even told you this, it came to my mind later, and I remember thinking, wow, what a cute little couple they are. Little did I know then that 8 years later, that cute couple and my husband Larry and I would land in the same ministry in Connecticut, becoming fast friends. Ralph was busy building up his law practice. The rest of us were busy teaching in a Christian school. We all enjoyed last-minute adventures, which included many late-night bites to eat because we worked late hours. I remember one night in particular. It was around 9 p.m. We were having quite the New England snowstorm. I was hesitant to travel out in it, but Ralph, the adventurer that he was, said, "Sure we can." And everyone was slipping and sliding all over the roads, fender benders everywhere. After we safely parked, Ralph and Larry helped push a car to safety, and Ralph was handing out business cards that he just happened to have in his pocket. Then we trudged through the snow to IHOP, probably the only place open at that hour. After being seated, Ralph began to order, and each time he tried to order a menu item, the waitresses said, "I'm sorry, sir, we're out of that." And after about four times of trying, he sat back, he put down the menu, and he said in a very kind and sincere voice, "Can you tell me what you do have that we can order?" Now, mind you, that was when there wasn't much on the menu as well. And I don't know what we ate that night, but I do know that we probably didn't leave much of a tip. I remember when my first child was born. Who was the first one up to the hospital to visit? Of course, it was Ralph, and he was the first one to hold her as well. When we walked through a really dark trial, Ralph was right there to help us and encourage us and to support us. When we moved to South Carolina 15 years ago, we didn't think we would see the Keens much after that, but happily we were wrong. With music competitions and college for their children, we have seen them quite often, and Ralph always made it a priority to stop by and see the Smitleys. And he would come, never come empty-handed. Tradition for him was to bring Krispy Kreme donuts over, and our families would sit around the table for hours laughing much over the comical stories that and jokes that Ralph and Larry would share. And even in his final days, he was still sharing his sense of humor with us. Not only did Ralph have a love for family and friends, he had a heart for young people. Both he and Brenda were always keeping their eyes out for young people that they could mentor and encourage. They saw the potential for the Lord that these kids had, and they would include them in many of their family activities, even family vacations, pushing them to be all they could be for the Lord. Ralph also had a love for missions. He was always ready to generously support my children and many others in all their mission trips and their camp work. And not just financially, but he promised to pray for them, and he would occasionally send them emails throughout the summer to encourage them. Lastly, Ralph had a heart for his Savior. Whenever we would ask how he was doing, he would explain a little bit about his cancer, but he always turned the conversation to giving glory to God. He would tell us what God was teaching him through his reading of the Psalms. In one of his last texts, he wrote, "I truly cannot wait to see my Savior." My husband's last words to Ralph were, "I love you. We may not be behind you, too far behind you," meaning that the Lord may come very, very soon. And Ralph responded, "I love you too," with a smile of agreement. And because of our faith in Jesus, it's not goodbye, Ralph, but we'll see you later.
I was blessed to meet Ralph back in 2001, pretty sure it was June of 2001. And to help you understand how significant the significant role that Ralph played in my life at that time and how God used Ralph in my life, you should understand that at that time, I had been out of fellowship for the better part of 4 years. So I was saved at a young age. I believed the gospel, but through a series of events, I became very disillusioned with the other Christians that I knew in my life, and it kept me away from church for a while. But God was working on my heart, and in 2001, he really convicted me that I need to get back into fellowship, and so after some research, I did decide to try out Farmington Avenue Baptist, and I also decided, somewhat reluctantly, to try out the College and Career Sunday School class there. And as many of you know, Ralph was the teacher of that class. And, you know, I went to that class really thinking, I'll probably try this out once and not be back because, you know, it's probably going to be, a shallow presentation that I had become accustomed to from other Christians. And, all of you know that there was nothing about Ralph that was shallow. And I went to that class, and I was delighted to meet a Christian man who knew what he believed, knew why he believed it, and could defend why he believed it to others. And that was exactly what I needed in my life at that time. And, Ralph and I also shared a strong interest in conservative politics and current events. And as many of you know, Ralph would always start his classes off with a review of recent world events from a biblical perspective. And so that was also very appealing to me. And so I connected with Ralph in a way that I hadn't really connected with another Christian. And so needless to say, it was not one and done in his Sunday school class. And so I did become a regular in his class over the next 5 years. And gained greatly from his biblical insights during that time. Now, in 2006, the Keens did move on from Farmington Avenue, and so I moved on from Farmington Avenue at that same time, and then I did bounce around to several other churches over the next few years, and, frankly, I struggled to find that same connection again that I had with Ralph, and, I had stayed in touch with Ralph, and I had known that he had been taking his family down to Colchester for some time, and I knew that was a long commute for them, and so I decided in 2010 that I would visit Colchester, and I did not know it at the time that Ralph was teaching Sunday school again there, and so when I found that out, well, you can be sure that the following week I was in Ralph's class, and have been here at Colchester Bible Baptist ever since, and I wish that I had Ralph's insights for another 30 years, but I learned so much from him during his time. And, you know, what really had a lasting impact on me are a few different things that come to mind. One was how he always would be asking for prayer for salvation for those around him, whether it was people in his office, whether it was his Muslim barber, whether it was clients that he had witnessed to. He was always asking for prayer for their salvation. And, you know, Ralph obviously longed to see those around him come to Christ. And, you know, the other thing that stands out, you know, obviously during his time as a Sunday school teacher, Ralph covered many, many Bible passages. But the verse that really sticks out to me as, you know, at least to my recollection, the verse that he would quote more than any other verse is Hebrews 11:6. And so many of you know that verse. And, you know, that verse says that without faith it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Ralph was a man who diligently sought after the Lord and taught others to do the same. And so I'm going to miss him. I already have been missing him. But I rejoice in the knowledge that I will meet him again.
No, I'm not Steve. I'm Judd, the other brother. Just a few things I wanted to say. A few things I will try to say. Carson, you have some big shoes to fill, not by size, but by heart, character. Because you already look like you surpassed your dad's size, I think. Very proud of you. But you do have big shoes to fill. He's a tough man to follow. And of course, Meredith. He loved you so much. Talk about you all the time. But he had the good graces not to overdo it. He would stop himself. I mean, I had six kids too. I could talk about them all day too. He knew that. But he's so proud of you guys. Rightfully so. I've never seen a man just love his children so much. And he was good at it, I think. I think of all the many adventures that he's, you know, you saw some pictures up there of some of the things he was into. Just a small fraction. He was a big kid. Very lovable. To know him was to love him. I've known him a long time, well over 40 years. Came into my life through my sister, Brenda, at a time that I needed a brother. I needed an older brother. Someone to give me advice, confidence, that strength that he had an abundance of. And he very willingly shared it. Not only was he a brother, but he was my friend. I can honestly, for you all, say that he was a friend like none other. Very proud to know him. Although we get very busy in our lives, and we go our own ways, have our own problems, have our own lives to lead, we still kept in touch. Not as much as I wished. But in these last few weeks in particular, through Brenda, correspondence with my wife and how they shared, and just how proud I was of how she and the family was handling everything, I can't imagine. But the strength that they showed, just them up here playing before you, playing some of Ralph's favorite things. I can hardly contain it. Love you all. I love Ralph. I'm not sorry for him at all. He's having those questions answered now. I very selfishly feel sorry for us all. It was a big part of our lives, just the people in this room. It's just a small fraction of, I'm sure, those who want to be here. Steve came down with COVID. Conveniently, I think. He'd be glad to be here to tell some of his exploits of Ralph and his fishing. You know, he loved fishing. Took all his little brothers fishing throughout the years. Deep sea fishing, a creek out back, it didn't matter. If it was water, he'd try. Very much been Miss Ralph. I just wanted to share.
People often ask me what it's like being adopted. I would say I never knew the difference between being adopted and being a real son. My adoption did not affect our father-son relationship. And some people saw adoption as like a bad thing. But I never saw this because my dad never treated me differently. In fact, I would say my dad went the extra mile with me because I was. Growing up, my dad had never-ending projects. Thanks to the fire, he never had to finish the basement. I can still smell the sawdust from his workshop. We spent countless hours at Winding Trails, which was a lake community for us, fishing. We spent a few trips deep sea fishing. Few trips every September, we'd go up to the Big E, which was a fair. And going up there, my dad would have his pockets full. Coming out, his hands would be full with same things he would buy every year. My dad always took care of me. He always took care of my mom, and he always took care of Meredith. Meredith has gone through about 3 horses now from him buying them. And for me, he has spent thousands of dollars for me to be able to play a violin. And while I've not always been grateful for this, I can surely say I am, because it brings glory to him and glory to our Father. Growing up, my dad has always prepared me. While I have not always known this, slowly but surely he's been preparing me for what I'm saying here today and what I will be doing in the future here. In December, my dad scarily went to the hospital. Through different infections, he was non-lucidic, barely could move, did not even know what year it was. And it was at that point in time where I knew I had to step up. Because previously, looking up to my dad, I knew he was saying things were going to be all right. He was always optimistic. But there, scarily, I watch him. I watch him getting carted off to the hospital. And I come in a couple hours later to the emergency room, and I just see him there. And it's at that point in time where I'm just standing there and thinking, wow, the time is coming, very near. Through that, through those 6 weeks he was in the hospital, I stepped up. One of the amazing things that God showed me, though, was that he and I was reading to him, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And by reading through this, I realize how much God cares for us. And my dad, as he finally got better enough to go home, I never saw him once complain, even when he was in the hospital like that. And nurses would tell me, he's doing so amazing. I can't believe he's smiling, making jokes with us while he's going through this pain. When Meredith was dealing with her cancer in 2019, my mom left for 8 months to take care of her, lunch and perusing a gift shop. After that, we started boarding our tour bus, and typically there will be street merchants trying to sell their goods, hoping to spot easy money. Most of us had already boarded the bus, and as I was getting on, one certain merchant came over to me and started trying to put a headdress on me. I kindly took it off, gave it back to him, and just stepped on the bus. As I was getting on the bus, I saw my dad walk out of the gift shop. And the merchant also saw this and saw easy prey. And as he ran over, he slammed the headdress onto my dad's head. And as my dad tried to take off the covering, the guy was reaching up on his tiptoes because he was about 5'2", and kept trying to keep it on there and telling him how official he looked and how amazing he would look in America. He was only asking $40 for the piece of cloth and headband. And this back and forth of him trying to take it off and start trying to walk towards the bus, and the man putting it back on his head and saying, for you, sir, $35, $30, $25. Finally, the price had gone down to $8 for this valuable piece of cloth. Our tour guide stepped out of the bus because at this time, all 60 of us had pressed onto one side of the bus watching this entire altercation take place. Tour guy stepped out, and the merchant and he began arguing. Seeing this as a chance for him to leave and keep his money in his pocket, my dad hurriedly slipped away and had about his first foot on the bus when the merchant had gotten away from our tour guide and stepped in between him and the bus and said that it was my dad's fault for not buying it because he wasted all his time and he wants some money at least. My dad, after being worn down for a solid 7 minutes, begrudgingly took out a $5 bill and handed it to him, finally was allowed to board and leave. After that, the tour guide was made sure that my dad always boarded the bus at least first so that we wouldn't have to go through that ever again. But through that, I saw that my dad's relationship to Jesus was very close. And through his cancer in May 2020 when he was diagnosed, I never saw a man waver in his salvation. Never saw a man be angry with God. Sure, he was angry at me with sometimes, but never angry towards God. And as a son, I could think of no other person that I would rather have as a person to look up to than my dad. My dad would always portray his love for Jesus, whether through his daily devotions that he would share with me or just the simple things that he would do for me. I can still remember experiences like snorkeling at the dead of night in Grand Cayman or deep sea fishing and him losing a rod. I'm comforted now, though, that he is now pain-free for the first time in 2 years. I'm grateful for the legacy he has left. At my school at Bob Jones, I've had many people come up to me and know who he is and say what a great man he is. But I do not need them to tell me that because I have watched that man for the past 18 years do that for me every day. He is a man who's never stopped working, but yet made time for us. During his last weeks here, my dad challenged me to read Psalm 31 through 34. In Psalm 34, 1, 8, and 9, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want." If I did not know the Bible when I read these, I would swear my dad wrote this, because he is a man who blesses the Lord at all times, and his praise continually comes in his mouth. Never did my dad complain, and now he rejoices with the angels in heaven as he watches me grow in my life and take care of my family.
There is no light in the planet but that which cometh from the sun. There is no light in the moon but that which is borrowed. And there is no true love in the heart but that which cometh from God. As I've pondered what I'd like to say about my dad, three stories came to mind. They're little stories. They're nothing monumental, but the theme of these stories all have the same thread. I dare to say that everyone in this room would agree that my dad was a gregarious person. He was fond of living, and he did it very well, with lots of laughter and funny stories. He never knew a stranger, whether we were traveling on the train into the city or ordering at his favorite Wendy's. I remember one time we were coming out of Mike's Pastry Shop in Boston on the 4th of July. There was a man standing right outside the bakery making balloon animals for children, however, no one was around. As we walked out of the bakery, my dad walked right up to him and said, "How's the balloon business going?" The man was visibly taken back and sheepishly started back a conversation. Not knowing my dad's plans to engage with this complete stranger, we had walked ahead. We finally stopped once we noticed we were missing a member and turned around with my mom saying to us, "Someone go and get your father." When I was 5, my dad brought home a bluebird he had found on the side of the road that had been hit. It had a broken wing. Our plan was to nurse it back to health. We tried very hard but failed little Chester. This is what started the constant parade of homeless squirrels, bunnies, guinea pigs, snakes, fish, hedgehog, once a baby rat, and horses. The only thing that remained constant were the dogs, as well as no cats. I come by it honestly. The last story I want to share is of his McDonald's friends. My dad used to frequent the McDonald's by our home for breakfast when he didn't have court. When we would go in together as a family, everyone would greet him by name and ask him follow-up questions on specific details in his life, clearly knowing what was going on. One time, when we were encouraging to try other places for breakfast, he responded with a no and said, "Because then I couldn't sit and witness to my friend Bill, the Vietnam vet." Unbeknownst to us, my dad had been having breakfast with Bill and witnessing to him for literal years. I wish I could remember the number of years. We don't know what happened to Bill, but I pray the spirit through my dad's life touched him and eventually brought Bill to himself. That theme thread that I've tried to portray through these stories is that of active love. He loved the law, his family, his church, his dogs, creation, traveling, and most of all, helping people. His motivation coming only from a place of loving God and loving to share his gospel. A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and helped by you will remember you when the forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble.
I began working with Ralph when I was before I was admitted to the bar, and there is much that law school doesn't teach you, but Ralph loved to mentor, and he taught me a lot. One time I filled in for him at court, and I introduced myself. The judge gave me a look, and he said, "You're even beginning to look like him." That may have been an insult to Ralph, I don't know, but we may have had some similarities, but we had some differences too. I remember Ralph organizing his church softball team and bringing them to play my church, his team. He was the pitcher, and to this day, he remains the only player I ever saw play a whole game wearing khakis and a button-down shirt, and of course, his favorite white sneakers. We had a great time working together, discussing politics and all kinds of things. I can spend lots of time saying great things about Ralph, but he wasn't perfect. For instance, he wasn't known for his punctuality. In fact, I think it is fair to say he was dependably unpunctual. I can't count the number of times Brenda, Meredith, or Carson politely called the office, urging us to push him out the door. I can guarantee he would not have been able to comply with the 2-minute time limit I am under right now. But what did surprise me is that I'm still learning from him, even in the 2 weeks since he passed. Taking over the law firm and dealing with things, I've had to meet with a number of clients, and I had to meet with several that were Ralph's clients that I wasn't as familiar with. And I met with a widow and a few other people in need that Ralph had helped. And it reminded me how much he cared for people. These people couldn't offer him anything of substance, but he fought for them. And it was a great reminder to me how much he valued that and how important it is. If I had to sum up Ralph's legacy, I would say, like lots of other people have said here today, is that he loved God and that he cared for people. He obviously loved Brenda, Meredith, and Carson unselfishly. I will never forget the stories he wrote to us about his wonderful adventure while he was traveling to the Ukraine to adopt Carson. We would laugh as we read him in the office. But he also cared for other people and for their souls. Many times he would tell me of his opportunities to tell people about Jesus and his desire for them to have the same relationship that he did. Ralph believed in miracles. He was completely confident that God could heal him. God didn't choose to do that, but I saw miracle after miracle in his life, especially in the last few years and months. But I'm confident that the miracle he still would want is for people he loved to know the same peace and joy that he knew and knows even more now by knowing his Savior. If you knew Ralph and you didn't know his Savior personally, I can almost guarantee that he prayed that you would. I'm thankful for his friendship. I'm thankful for his example, thankful for the fact that he had the certainty of where he is today, and I'm thankful for the legacy he's left behind.